Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined by not only Chantel tonight. Guess
The
who's
living
back?
fucking legend.
She's
The
back.
main
She's back,
cunt.
bitches. The main cunt.
Charlie, you know those things where, like, if you say you're cool, you're probably not that cool. So when you're like the living legend, probably I
not
am that fucking cool. Fuck it.
that
I survive any horror movie. That's it.
cool.
Well, we shall see.
We shall see. Yep, she's back.
That is the true test of this podcast.
How are you, Charlie? It's
Been
been
a
a minute.
while.
It's
It
been a
has. I mean, I
while.
was going to say it's been since Christmas, but then I was thinking, oh, wait, did we record Scream before or after Christmas? Because I cannot remember.
It was in that weird limbo where no one quite knows what's going on, but we're all full of
Yeah,
cheese.
so yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm okay. Just toddling along, getting on. Same old, but obviously different to same old because my same old was recording every Monday with you guys. But no, I'm good, thank you. But I'm glad to be back behind the mic. I sound like a
You did. Like a
fucking
pop
knobhead so
star.
badly.
Oh my Gaga, it's so good to be back on
My God.
tour.
I mean, I'm back with the daddy dick energy, that's for sure. We
I
have
mean, literally, your first words were the main cunt. So I think it's a good start.
I
I
mean,
don't actually think we've said the words daddy dick energy since maybe the Gremlin episode. even know if we said it then, Tell.
I don't know.
I
I
don't
don't know. disappointed
We've
in you
been,
guys.
well,
Yeah,
yeah.
you were meant to keep it going.
I mean, we are the daddy dick energy, so we're not going to give that to the characters in the films like you do. We take the energy. We've had serious mum energy in recent episodes, actually, Tell. So I think
Actually, that's
that's
true.
where it's been going.
Yeah, that is
Oh.
true. Oh, nice. Nice.
Yes.
I mean, actually, well, to be fair, Charlie, have you been listening to our episodes? Because you would have known that we See,
were having some mummy feminist vibes going on. this is
This is
true.
my problem. Because
Oh,
I haven't
God.
seen some of the movies, I don't want to spoil it with what you guys are saying. But I don't have the time to watch the movies, which is obviously why I haven't been recording with you guys. So I will listen. I've been listening to your little intros because I love them. And I have been listening to, like, Little Synopsis because I enjoy that as well. But yeah,
Well,
I'm hoping that I will be back full time with you guys soon. It's just been a
Well, we might not want you back after this.
oh, fuck you guys. You go off
But
and drink your cocktails and join the likes of Zobo with a shotgun and everything.
was a great
I
house.
see, I'm not good enough for you guys now.
Wait,
The living
look.
legend is just too much.
We're living our child-free life. No responsibilities, not a care in the world. Our 30s, Charlie, you're not in the 30 club yet. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm
You
still a
mock
little
us.
while
You
off.
mock us for being old,
I
but me and
mean,
Katie are just
I'm
enjoying
coming
our
back for a
30s.
30th birthday episode, no matter
Oh,
what.
yeah. She is.
But
She's back. Anyway.
so, Charlie's homework is that she needs to watch some horrors and catch up on some episodes before we let her back in the gang, but we'll let her in for this week. So, shall we talk about this week's movie?
So strange. I'm actually rooting for this girl. She's got so much heart. You think of all the pain and the punk. Tequila is my lady! My lady! Come on in, guys! Come on in! Come on in!
We have decided to do the 2011 Cabin in the Woods, directed by Drew Goddard. Five college friends head out to a remote cabin for a getaway, but things don't go as planned when they start getting killed. They soon discover that there is more to the cabin than it seems. Does that not sound like it could be the plot for quite a few different films?
Anything.
Yeah.
It
Well. does. Is it 2011?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Did you think it was
I saw
earlier or
this at the
later?
cinema.
You did, because I saw this with you and you fucking covered your face and were on your phone for like 90% of the Oh,
movie. And I
that's
thought,
insulting.
yeah, because there was another film I think we've already covered, and I can't know what it was. Well, I thought it was that one, but I'm Final
90% sure.
Destination was the only other horror movie.
I didn't see
But
that with
the
you.
Final Destination.
Yeah, but I was like, because I remember saying, I can't remember if it was that or this, but I'm 90% sure it was Cabin in the Woods that I went with you. I can't remember who else we went with, and you could not watch it. You were literally like staring. I don't know why you came with us. Like, I don't know.
What waste of money? It's expensive as well.
Exactly. I was like, the cinema's not a cheap outing nowadays.
She just didn't want to be left out.
Which is fair. FOMO's a real thing. I love a weird telling Charlie her own first time. Like, Charlie, what was your first experience? In fact, I'll tell you what your first experience was.
I mean, I could say I've watched... oh, sorry. I've watched it twice since then. One of them being with an ex, and then one of them being... I'm not even sure if I can count it as watching it this time, because I had to stop halfway through because I got so scared again. And then I reattempted the rest of it today.
So when you watched it the second time...
Yeah.
Did you actually watch it?
I think I was preoccupied with other things. If
okay,
I'm honest.
So have you actually seen this film, or have you only seen like 10% of it?
No. I have watched it, but I watched it in two halves because I got too scared.
Okay, so it wasn't like you were just watching it like this?
No. I fully watched it. I got very anxious halfway through, literally halfway through. So, yeah.
Okay, so any other thoughts, or was it just anxious?
It's very clever. And I did enjoy, like, it's hard because it, for me, I'm not sure whether I am just an anxious wreck at home because I haven't been watching my horror movies, unless you consider Saltburn one. But but I think I'm sort of out of a flow, and this did scare me, which is why I turned it off. But I was also really enjoying it, and I loved the ending. Like, I think it's very clever. There's lots and lots of reference, as you just mentioned, like references to other movies and any typical horror, basically. It's great. Very clever.
Katie, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I thought, I did see this in the cinema, but I obviously didn't go with you guys. I'm not sure who I went with. Oh, but yeah, I know. I don't know who I went with.
Makes us the dicks, Charlie, because we left her out.
No, I know. What did I do to you?
She
guys?
Had the FOMO.
I think this was like the year that we weren't really close yet.
2011 would have been college. So did we? I don't know. I don't know why we wouldn't have gone. Maybe you were there, but
don't
I can't
worry about
remember.
It, guys. It's fine. I'm clearly over it. Like, it's...
yeah, clearly it hasn't stuck with you at all. Maybe you were there, but all I can remember, well, other than the film, but all I can remember from that is watching Charlie not watch the film.
I was just in the background, like. I wasn't invited, so I was just like right in the back, like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, you're just in the back of the cinema, like,
who knows?
The years, I mean, I don't want to sound like an absolute fucking geek, but I wouldn't have seen a set of cinema if I was under 18. I never saw it.
Well, this is only 15.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, you were definitely 15, over 15.
Oh, though. My God. Yeah, well, yeah, I was 15. I was over 15.
Yeah, don't try and pretend you're younger than you are. Yeah, it's amazing. It's so clever. It's even like the beginning bit is just, it throws you off completely. Mm-hmm. And when I was watching yesterday, I was like, I'm so glad it came out when it did. Because nowadays you'd have like Twitter and you'd have social media would be more rife and you might like know a few more spoilers and people would like kind of like when Malignant came out, like I did know that there was like going to be something mad that happens at the end. Mm. Whereas this, like you just had no idea what was going to happen in it. So I'm glad it came out when it did because you really just weren't expecting any of it. What about you, Tal?
Again, same as you both. Absolutely love it. I remember like literally walking out of the cinema and being like, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I think
what,
partly because of the
phone?
Well, no, you, by that point, I think I was just like, I couldn't understand why you'd even come with us. But I don't, maybe we'd gone for food for, I don't know. Or maybe we just bullied you into coming. I don't know.
Probably.
It was probably like, we're going to go see this film and we told you nothing about it. But I remember just thinking that was amazing. Loved all the monsters and everything else going on. But also, I love in the same way of like loving Scream, it takes the piss out of the whole horror genre. So it's just, but it does it in such a way that it's not like satire, but it is. And it's, I don't know, it's like not.
It's like sci-fi mixed with horror.
It's not, it's not slapstick. And it's like lore. There's like all the lore and that in it, but it's not. Yeah, it's not slapstick comedy, but it is fucking satire. It's so clever. But yeah, so I like it. I like it. Which is good. Yeah. We keep doing this. We just keep picking films we like rather than...
I know, I do like the fact that there is like an answer for everything. In the sense that you're saying like it's satire, but it's not like... Oh, fuck. What's his name for? His character.
Chris Hemsworth, Kurt.
I mean, we
got there in the end.
Kim from Home and Away, which I knew was not, which is him, but also not his name in this. Kurt. So Kurt, obviously he's very bright. He's not really an athlete such, but obviously he is a big stocky guy. So then they change it. They make him into the athlete by point, like doing the room. And then the fact that the geeky guy is immune to it because he's been smoking weed. Like it's, there's so many different.
Yeah,
the geeky guy is not immune to it. The stoner is.
The fool.
That's it.
They are. Well, that's it, isn't it? It's lining up your typical horror. But I like the fact they open with the other two guys. So they're just like going around. Oh God, what do they call it? Not called factory. Wherever they keep the monsters, but they go around there like in their little buggy. So you're just like, what is going on? Like, why are they're slagging?
Yeah, this is called a cabin in the woods. Why are we in like a lab?
Like, yeah, like we haven't, but even when they flash up like the titles, like cabin in the woods, it just pops up and it's
proper
just
horror, old school, like,
oh, I love that. It's so good. Apparently, Drew Goddard was, he wanted that bit at the beginning because he wanted people to like question whether they'd got into the wrong like screening at like the cinema. Like, just to really throw them off.
That bit would make you think this is like sci-fi or this is like Men in Black type.
What is, what is this?
Why are we watching two guys at the office? Like, what's happening? Right? But yeah.
I immediately like loved them though. Like, especially.
Yeah, you're like rooting for them, even though they're proper baddies.
Steve and Gary.
Yeah, especially Steve Hadley, Bradley Whitford. He's just so good and so funny. Yeah. Like Charlie said, like they're likable, but you also are rooting for the group. It's like
it's a strange one because they are ultimately like the proper baddies of this film, not for the redneck zombie family, which is different to the actual zombies, by the way.
Yes, just to clarify,
they did not win that bet, but it is this like whole sort of like obviously, it's that body. I'm not sure if he's a bodyguard, but like the bodyguard's like first day, really, as well. Like, he doesn't really understand what's happening. I wish that they included a bit more of his character because that would have been a really cool one to sort of like, because he's like, question, like, oh, why are we doing this? Like that. But yeah, like it's such a cool setup. Like, you're rooting for everyone except for fucking zombies. And then at one point, you're rooting for the zombies because, or the redneck zombies because you're like, yeah. And a fucking Sigourney Weaver in it as well, which is like, obviously.
The funny thing is, even when you go on like IMDb, it's hard to find. Like, Sigourney Weaver is hidden down. It's like they were deliberately keeping her name off, I think, so that it was that like surprise when she comes up at the end. But then in the credits, she's like the first person they list because they listed her as the director. And I was like, no, she wasn't. And then realized they meant off the facility, not the director of the film.
He's like, fucking hell, Sigourney Weaver's on something, isn't she?
Fuck, she's busy. And then was like, for a minute, I was like, that's so cool. And then I was like, hang on a second, there was a different name. It was definitely not Sigourney Weaver. But I love it. I just love so much. I love that they're already dropping it. And again, when you rewatch, you're picking up more of those hints where it's just like, oh, they're just blowing off steam. Like, you're like, hang on, they're betting on monsters. That like, you're trying to put it all together.
Yeah, what are they?
What are they betting on? Like, what the hell? But it is that, and then we're like, when you watch it back, you're like, oh, it's because there's like a lot of shit at stake here.
I think as
And it's as soon as they walk down into that basement, that's it. Like, obviously, I think our first sort of hint of it is the bird flying into the invisible wall, which later Kurt, Kit, Kim, he then obviously bumped into it.
Kim?
Who the fuck's Kim?
Kim from Home and Away, that's his character.
Oh,
no, okay. Kurt. He's cut.
Yeah, I know, but sorry, listeners. I bet you've all missed this so much. Yeah, so that there's those little snippets. You're like, oh, okay. And then obviously the Except the tunnel hasn't come down and bits and bobs, and yeah, it's just so clever. Like,
I think it's good that we have the security officer guy, because he's obviously new to it as well. Mm. So they're all explaining everything to him. So like, we're learning along the way with him. Mm. So I think that was kind of the reason that he was in it, was because like you kind of learn through him as well. I think like you were saying, in terms of like, maybe he could have been a bigger character, like maybe he could have been secretly in on it, like with the group or something, and like trying to get revenge on the people that are doing this or whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, that might have been a bit far-fetched, but it would have been quite cool to like explore his character a bit more. But he does sort of die quite quickly. But yeah, I guess that's the thing with this film, like everyone dies, but they just do it. They just all die in different ways that you weren't expecting them to die.
Yeah.
I think it was good we had him, because it explained a lot throughout the film.
Mm. Had it just been that the redneck zombie family killed the five, and then we saw the bigger half of it, and then they did a Cabin in the Woods 2 with the same setup and that group were escaping, then I think the security guard could have had a bigger role where he helped bring them down. But there was no way they could have got all that in one film. It would have been a shit show. So I think they did it good, kind of holding him back a bit. Yeah. But it was a shame. He would have been good.
I am gutted in a way that there isn't a second one. Obviously, it ends with basically the end of the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But spoilers!
Like, yeah, I know, spoiler! but it's such a cool concept, especially as they go around, like, well, they go to Buenos Aires, they go to Japan, Tokyo, like, all these places along the world that have their own little, essentially the same sort of setup, but obviously it's all gone tits up in the other ones.
I do like that it's a standalone film, because you very rarely get that in horror films anymore. Like, they're starting to do it a little bit more in, like, modern horror, but everyone is just desperate for a sequel to all these things. So it kind of like says a lot in itself that it is just one film, because if you look at like what these films are based on, like Evil Dead and Friday the 13th, think of like how many sequels all of them have. So it is quite nice that the one based around all of it only has one film.
The thing is, if they were to do it, the only way they could do it is as a prequel.
That's what I was thinking.
Because what did they say? Is it like, oh, we haven't had a fail since like 1998 or 1988? Like, they could have gone to that year. Or we could have seen in other countries. But again, as you say, I'm so happy with it as a standalone. Yeah. I don't think they need to do that. If they do that, I'll go and see it. But they don't need to. Like, it's great as it fucking is. But Charlie, it's interesting as well. Sorry, we've jumped. But you said about how, obviously, once they're kind of, like, the first kind of bit of information we're getting... Again, as someone who only really started watching horrors a couple of years ago when we dragged you into this.
After you dragged me into a cinema and I didn't watch it the first
time.
Yes.
What did you make of the, like, when they have to stop for fuel? Like, did you pick up on the guy?
Oh, yeah. I'm gutted that they didn't go back to his... Well, they only went back to his character once when he's like, the chickens are in the pen or something.
Yeah, whatever. They start laughing at him.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, it was so clever. And I was thinking straight away, I was like, oh, it's...
Every horror.
What was that bloody one that we fucking love?
Like Wrong Turn.
Evil Dead.
Wrong Turn, yeah. I was like, it's like Wrong... Friday the 13th. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, any film with a petrol station.
Like, literally.
Any film that involves a car and a car journey, so you need to stop. Honestly, I've watched too many of these fucking films. If I ever go on a road trip across America, I'm taking the fuel with me. Like,
I'm just gonna take Marty with me, because he is so funny in it when he's just like, watches him spit out the tobacco, and he's like, "Well, good luck with your business, sir."
Right. But can we actually, on Marty, when we first meet Marty as well, his entire thing is like, I literally wrote it down. I was like, cops will never pull over a man with a giant bong. They fear him, for he sees further than they. He has already dictated that his character will see more than the rest of them throughout the film. He is such a fucking great character. He's so well written, because he's already been like subbing in the plot.
And also the fact that his fucking bong goes into a flask.
Oh, I mean, I need one of them. I've already got a coffee cup in the car. I need one of those. Right.
There is literally so much.
We do not condone drug driving, though. No.
I didn't say I was going to drive with it. I did not say I was going to drive with it, or at least not as the driver. Sorry, Katie.
No, I was just saying, there's like, yeah, like you said, Tel, there's so much foreshadowing with Marty. Like, yeah, you've got like the bong and then like the fucking, and then yeah, just things he's saying. And then everyone else is just like, oh, we've missed your rants.
Yeah.
And everything. And like, and he has been that character, like the fool, the entire time, whereas the others slowly kind of morphed into their stereotypical, whereas they weren't like that at all. Like Kurt was like, he was like the jock type, like good looking, athletic, but he was also super clever. And then you've got like the final girl, you've got Jules, who's like the whore, but she's really kind, she's a nice friend, like she's just like clever as well.
Yeah,
and then like fucking
Dana,
the virgin
but had fucked her teacher, like
exactly.
But it's when she starts hooking up with Holden and she's even like, I've never done this before. And wait, yes, like, and she questions it, like,
yeah,
as
yeah.
she's slipping into a trope. Can I also point out, I only noticed this time round, Holden doesn't wear glasses until that point where they start slipping. And then he's on the sofa with the diary wearing glasses, where he becomes the nerd. He wasn't wearing glasses the whole rest of the film until that point.
He's like, perfect. Even before all of this, he was beautiful. He was respectful with the mirror. He's like good looking. Like, I know you two are in like happy relationships, but like men like that just don't exist. Like, no offense. You've got lovely partners.
But... Sorry. Exactly. I'm in a relationship with the guy. If he could see me through a mirror, don't you think he'd just keep looking? He wouldn't come and fucking tell me.
You've got very handsome, lovely, respectful partners, but they don't exist. Apart from your
I mean, to be fair, I think mine's a dirty git, if I'm honest. But
right, so note to self, we're not going to stay in a cabin with Charlie and her partner. But can we point out as well, that painting was a lamb being slaughtered. There is so much foreshadowing in this film.
And being eaten alive. It's fucking weird.
Oh, what? I mean, look up old art. None of it's, well, not none of it.
You don't get
a
fucking
lot of
zombie thing eaten.
Oh, you fucking do. You get some weird fucking historical art. What, because you think goths are a modern thing? No, they go back fucking years, people drawing grotesque shit and painting it and fucking, again, it was reality.
It's documented in history.
Exactly. So it's always been around. Like, people just put it in their houses and then other people came to stay and didn't want to see it while they slept, which I completely get. But so symbolic. And it's so, like, still early in the film. But it's just
so good.
I mean, if I'm honest, you should have just kept the painting down and just been looking at the beautiful sight that was.
But what a tease, because he knew. He knew that the painting wasn't back up yet because she wasn't that quick. She'd only just brought her bags in. And then he just immediately starts stripping. Like, he's such a fucking tease.
A respectable tease.
A respectable tease. But the man's playing a game. It's really hard because, like, if you know your friends have set you up, it's the most awkward thing to then be like...
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'd fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Like, you better never do that to me.
Yeah, had it just been, some friends are coming and you took a liking to one, much easier than being like, oh, yeah, my friends have told me you're the one for... Like, it makes things so much weirder.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, even at the beginning when Jules is like, I'm not pushing, and they're very like just like a cool, like nice couple. And then obviously as like they drink more and they're getting kind of drugged essentially, that's when they start to conform to like their stereotypical, like he becomes such a dick and kind of says, oh, well, she's gonna pick truth, she wouldn't pick dare, and like say things that he wouldn't normally say.
The fucking wolf.
Fucking hell. It was like watching Saltburn all over again.
It's just a weird fucking scene. Like, fair play to Anna Hutchinson, because I think I'd have just laughed the entire way through that. Like, I don't know how she does it. But
they put like sugar around the wolf's mouth, so like it made it taste better.
Apparently it was so it looked dusty, but yeah, it like sweetened up.
Oh my god. But when I first watched this, I thought something was going to happen, like the wolf's like mouth was going to shut or something.
No, we're just going to make out with a taxidermy wolf.
It literally was just making out with a wolf.
No, ew. Although apparently they had to answer loads of letters because people were like, that's disgusting. You can't do that to a taxidermied wolf. And they had to like be like, guys, it was silicone. It was a fake head. The
well
tongue,
done to SFX there.
Yeah, the tongue was removable so they could wash it. But they literally had to be like, no wolves or unicorns were hurt during this film.
Oh, I love it.
I'd like to point out again, this is a 15, which means people that were watching this film should have known that unicorns are not real. Sorry to break your heart.
Fucking hell.
But they had to come.
I mean, it didn't really get hurt, did it? It just stabbed someone. I fucking loved that bit.
I mean, in reality, okay, if a unicorn did exist and it charged someone into the wall, surely that would be bad for its horn, though.
No, it's a fucking spike on its head, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot
like
of
narwhal.
Well, yeah, but I haven't seen them ram into a wall and, like surely that's going to break their spike.
Well,
like,
it's
thinking
going
of
into
a
someone, isn't it? It's going up and through, like...
Yeah, through, so it's going to hit the wall on the other side.
Yeah, but it can...
It's a mythical creature. There's no way to prove if it works or not. We don't...
Can but we write to the...
Guys, your argument is pointless.
Yeah, but it's a bone. You think if you just had an exposed arm and you rammed it into a wall, it wouldn't be good. As in
yeah,
the arm bone, not just your arm.
It's a magic horn, isn't it?
Well, so this is the argument.
Tell are you saying a unicorn was harmed in the making of this?
Yes, I was the unicorn and I was harmed and I'm not happy about it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
My horn has not been the same since, okay?
Has it not? I'll ask your partner about that.
It's a bit wonky.
We haven't heard from Mitch. Just get out. Should we call him in?
Wrong turn.
Wrong turn.
We haven't done get out. Although hilariously, that's really weird because Bradley Whitford, who plays Steve Hadley, was in Get Out. So I don't know if you like subconsciously knew that.
Actually, I did because I did. He came on the screen and I kept being like, what have I watched recently with him in?
Yeah, he's the one that was like, oh, I would have voted for Obama 3 times if I could.
Yeah,
he's
one of those, I'm not racist, I voted for Obama. Oh, fuck off. Mm.
Yeah.
But he also, we were watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine the other day and he's in that as well. So I was like,
I love him in that. I fucking knew
he's
he was
so
in that.
Funny.
Yeah. I was like, where have I seen his face?
So he is really good. He's got quite the film. But so is Richard Jenkins as well.
He does.
Alongside him. So fair play getting those. Like, it was just a good cast because as an actor, can you imagine getting this script and be like, that's fucking great.
What a part to play. One of my favorite like underrated lines of his was when like the intern is like, oh, I don't know who to bet on. And he's like, more than anything, I just want this moment to end.
I love that. Can we, again, if we're in a bar and someone's being creepy, can we just use that? More than anything, I just want this moment to end.
I'm definitely going to start using that line. Yes. I love it.
We've had quite a few good lines recently, like for events to get us out of situations. We've got, I need to return some videotapes. And just, I'd like this moment to end.
Yeah, yeah, we're stacking up a few good ones for when we go out.
Keep them in the back pocket. But what I love about that whole betting pool scene, so I wrote it down as well because I can't remember who gave, I think it was Drew Goddard that gave the quote, the director, but he was talking about it and how it satirizes horror movie tropes, depicting horror movie monsters as interchangeable and mocking the conventions of the genre, because that's what they're saying, is it doesn't matter what they pick, they're going to die.
Although the Virgin may or may not die. It's
okay,
not
the Virgin is, what do they say, optional?
Optional.
Yeah.
As long as she suffers.
So, but you do look at that list and it was really funny because one just says like Kevin. Yeah. And I was on like this whole history thing. Kevin's basically just like, I think he's an adult, but he's just got like white out eyes.
He's from Sin City.
Ah, there you go. I had a whole fucking list of like ones. I'll put it on the Instagram because they're fucking great.
The guy with the ball that she picks up the ball, but it doesn't end up being her, but that's how she realizes that it's all set up.
The sawhead guy.
Yeah. Is that meant to be like a play on Hellraiser?
I think so.
I wondered that.
Yeah, I would say.
I haven't seen Hellraiser, but I've seen the cover to it.
I would say yes, because so. Again, I looked into quite a lot of this. They were basically, the way they came up with all the monsters is they were having a conversation. So it was Dave Anderson, who was their creature designer, Heather L. Anderson. But they did also reference Dad, Dave did, because Lance Anderson, his dad, also was helping on the film under AFX. It was a whole, oh my God, I need this family business. It sounds amazing. But they were talking with the director, Drew Goddard, about what scares us. And they were like, okay, let's make that any nightmare you can come up with, we can put on the screen. So I can just imagine
with the angle grinder.
Exactly. So again, you've got a clown in there. You've got fucking people in I think Strangers came out after, but it's like, obviously you've got the masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very similar.
And you've got obviously what the guy I'm calling Sawhead, who I imagine is kind of coming off of one of the, I keep calling them Samobites because that's what I call my mate. Yeah, so coming off of Pinhead and that.
And the mermaid as well was, I'm not sure if it was mermaid or creature from a blue, like,
What do you mean you don't know?
Whether it was a mermaid or creature from...
It's a merman, because Steve gets really upset because he always bets on a merman, and Kurt held the shell. And then he got really upset because really want to see a merman. Shit,
I didn't realise that.
He calls him a merman twice, I think. And then right at the end.
And that's when he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
Again, the foreshadowing. Mwah, French kiss.
All right, I didn't realise that bit.
Very quickly, you mentioned Heather Anderson, who is part of the FX studio. Yeah. You'll never guess who that is. Heather Langenkamp, who plays Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street. She's married to him.
No.
She's married to, what was it? David Leroy Anderson.
Yeah.
Who is obviously in charge of AFX Studio. So it's Heather Langenkamp.
Do you know what? I watched a whole thing. It was like a whole 10-minute thing about all the SFX. I didn't even realise that's who she was.
No, it's crazy.
Why do I feel like I should have known that? Why do I feel like I should have known that?
Do you want to re-say it?
No. Okay. because being wrong is okay.
Okay.
It is okay to learn.
Being right is better.
It's okay to learn. That's why we're here.
Hey, listeners, at least we know that we're fully honest with you when we're... Yeah.
Do you know what's really funny? Watch us go back to the Friday episode when I'm like, oh, and do you know who she's married to? When Chantelle has a terrible memory. Can we talk about the scene in the cellar or basement or whatever you want to fucking call it? Because again, looking at Evil Dead or anything like that, the basement is obviously where all the shit happens. This is where as our lovely facility workers tell us or set the scene for, they are choosing their own fate. So is there any, like, every single monster they made and every creature or horror thing they made was connected to something? And I did have a whole list. I'll try and pull it up again quickly. But is there anything in there you're like, oh my God, I had to totally play with that? Because the one I was really curious about was Marty playing with the tape, like the like an old movie, like Sinister style.
Yeah.
Obviously it wasn't Sinister because that came out years later, but it did make me wonder.
I mean, there's a ballerina box, there's a piano, there's the ball, obviously, which is what I presume is a reference to
that was the puzzle sphere, and that pulled up. They called him Fornicus, Lord of Bondage and Pain.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Up Charlie Street.
So Charlie would have gone for the puzzle box.
Dirty Batch.
He was playing with a necklace which would have summoned a bride. I don't remember seeing
the wedding
bride.
Dress.
I don't remember seeing a bride.
I don't remember seeing a bride in the final ones. Music box would have called a sugar plum fairy. There's a fortune teller machine for clowns. Unicorn tapestry for the unicorn. Amulet would have called the werewolf. The film strip would have called Kevin, which is why I was looking him up. There was a whistle that would have called a killer robot. So we could have had that type of film. Or a jar of... Sasquatch, which would have called the Sasquatch. Now there's an entire fucking list. I won't read them all out now. But like there was a hatchet or a gnome statue, which would have called like a garden gnome boy. So they went fucking out there. Like it's amazing.
You say that I've been playing Sims, and there are some evil gnomes in Sims.
I mean, I'm not saying they're not evil.
So maybe it is a thing.
Yeah, there was a bottle of blood, would have called some vampires.
Nice.
There's a jack-o'-lantern, would have called a jack-o'-lantern, snow globe for a snowman, giant deers. Fuck it. His satanic Bible would have called some demons. A noose would have called the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, again, don't remember seeing in that final scenes.
No.
So they
wow.
not only took, like, obviously reference from, like, films, they took it from life. They took, like, just, there's so fucking much. I'm going to have, oh my God, one of them's called The Suffocator. So I'll have to share the list because it goes on for ages and I obviously won't read it out on here because that would be the entire episode. Maybe we'll do that as an extra, just me reading
out. Bonus episode.
Bonus. But I just love that they put that much thought into it. So sorry, I asked you a question and then completely went the other way. Is there any that you saw you were like, that's kind of cool? Or can we just appreciate the line, I draw the line in the sand at fucking Latin, not reading Latin?
Yeah, I appreciate him for that. And then obviously they went ahead and spoke Latin.
Yeah, like all of a sudden he could miraculously remember it and speak it again.
Oh yeah, he was like, yeah, I learned it in like 10th grade or whatever. It's like, yeah. No one's fucking learning that shit when you're a kid. Like,
well, she read it because I'm guessing it, like obviously Latin tends to be quite phonetic.
Yeah.
So she read it and then he managed to translate it somehow.
Yeah.
But the whole fucking thing about like, I love the recall back to the husband's bulge, where like later on they're kissing and he's like, he's got a husband's bulge. It's just absolutely taking the piss out of it.
Oh yeah.
But one detail I love, sorry, I literally asked you a question and then have not shut the fuck up. one detail I loved is that they talk about, is it the mum wouldn't stop screaming until dad cut open her stomach and stuffed it full of hot coals? When the Buckners rise, and you see Mummy Buckner, I didn't realise this until I saw the behind the scenes stuff. She had like a stomach of coal. Like they actually got like they made mini coals and they were battery powered, so they glowed. But when you actually see her stand up, she has coals in her stomach. Like they added that detail.
That's cool.
Fucking fair play.
That's coal.
That's coal.
You're killing me.
Katie, I've told you how coal you are.
Stop it.
Oh, she's a diamond, she is.
So yeah, sorry.
Anyway.
Anything else you guys noticed in that scene? Because I just think it's such a well done scene. You can say no.
I mean, there was just so much to look at.
Yeah. It just reminded me of like what it was supposed to remind you of, like the Evil Dead. Yeah. It just reminded me of that.
But also the fact that Stoner Joker guy is going, stop, please, can we like go back? And then obviously it's the whole, nope.
Yeah.
I ain't doing
he's
it.
Like the only sane one. And he's like, and he's dare like, you all to go upstairs.
He is the common sense of the film. But also like for some of them, I just want to know how it would have triggered. Because for some of them, there's like, oh, an alien egg. So I'm like, okay, if you hold, you have to crack it. Because obviously with the diary, she had to read from it. The necklace she was going to put it on. I don't know the film. Like, did they have to play it? Again, like, I don't know. But some of them, again, like, there's another book. One's like a cat statue. So again, do you pet it? Like, I'd be interested. I would really, honestly, I would dig deep that entire scene.
This would be really good as like a game. You could like play each, like you could click the diary or click the conch or like click different things. Yeah. And you could like,
see what you can, what can you summon?
Yeah.
Who's good as
like a video game?
Yeah, and then could you survive that creature? You have to survive all 60.
Yeah,
I think it was 60.
That'd be hard work. Well, to escape from a merman.
Yeah, right. But again, like with the conch, did he have to like put it to his ear? What was the? I want to know how they're like. Oh, but that's done. That one's chosen. Because surely he could have been like, oh, he picked it up, picked the merman, and like released them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he had to specifically do.
No. I was thinking, like, listen to it. Like, when you go, even someone gives you a shell, probably. And they're like, oh, you can listen to the ocean.
Yeah, I guess something like that. Or, like...
Yeah. Like, yeah, the noose. Are you supposed to put it on? Seems a bit dark.
Supposed to hang yourself and then it works.
Like, really commit to the bit here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was cool. It was really clever. And, like, how you kind of discover that afterwards, that he's so, like... fucking annoyed at the fact that the zombie family have, and then he's just sat there like he had the conch in his hand, like he's so upset about
so close. So maybe there's always next year.
Yeah,
What did you guys think? Obviously, I briefly touched on the fact that it was zombies and then redneck zombies. What did you think about their weapons? Because the bear trap thing
That was
was
horrible.
fucking cool.
That was horrid. Like,
It was horrid,
literally
but it was
horrid.
cool.
It was cool, but it was. Can you, like, I think that's it, because, like, he catches them in the back with it. And just, can you imagine, like, that being how you go down? It's like, oh God, this is horrid. But yeah, it's the scene where it's our final girl, Dana. And she's on, but they're all like having a party because they think it's over, but you can still see her having the shit kicked out of her, like on the
Yeah, I love
bus.
that
And
bit.
again, you're like, if you're just having a bear trap thrown at your fucking face during that, like, oh, I know I don't think she does, but I think she does get it somewhere. I just can't
Yeah,
think
she
of it right
gets it in
now.
the back of her a few
I was
times.
turning back or leg, but yeah, like, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
I love that scene as well. Like, how well, like, they are literally having a party, like, going for it. And then in the background, you see all these snippets of, like, different camera angles. And
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
fuck.
awesome. And then I think it's literally my favorite bit of the film when Hadley is watching Dana like fight, and he's like sat there and he's like, oh, I'm really rooting for this girl. And then he does a double take and he's like, Tequila is my lady. And he just sees tequila.
Great.
And he just completely just distracts himself, like, oh, there's tequila, it's fine.
Yeah.
I can imagine though, if this was a real job, you'd have to be like that, because you're like, we have to
Yeah.
sacrifice people every year.
It's just fantastic acting,
It's
just
so
how
good.
distracted he was. And it was like quite like it felt quite real the way he was doing it. It's
Yeah.
really
Tequila.
funny. It's
Tequila
so
is my
good.
lady.
Ah.
But going from like the final bit of them surviving to like the first kill, so completely the wrong order. But when like Kurt and Jules are like getting sexy in the woods again, as soon as we see her boobs, she's gonna die. We've said it before. But they have it all like set up to like, oh, make it lighter, make it warmer. She's
Yeah.
like,
It's
oh,
brilliant.
it's cold. Let's raise the temperature.
Yeah.
No one's around. It's sexy. And then there's like 30 people in the room watching,
They're
and it's like,
all men.
all
All men.
men. They could have one lesbian in there. Like, come on. Diversify, guys. You've got every monster and you couldn't have one different sexuality. Come on.
It's the fucking security officer, the new guy, and he's like, oh, I don't think I should be watching this. And then you just see him in the
That lead in, like, what's it? Yeah, but
set.
what? What is it that Steve shouts? Because he's just like, all right, get out of here. You get away with what is it? Your natural
Oh,
urges or something.
I
Like, he's
think
really,
Gary is. Yeah, he's just like, get off, you're all disgusting. Like,
yeah.
leave. And
But
then
like they
he's
don't.
watching it, just like,
Yeah, and then they're
yeah.
like, we can control the temperature though, right?
Yeah,
Fuck off. Too
let's
much
make it a bit
power.
warmer. Let's make it
It's
steamy. Add some
when
moonlight over there.
as well, like, he's not even looking at what he's looking at the screen, doesn't even look at the button and just like does something. I'm
Yeah.
just like,
Can't look away.
literally, I'm like, oh my God, there's the money shot. Yeah, because it is like, why? I can't remember. The security guy's like, oh, why are we filming this or whatever? And he's like, oh, because you got to keep them downstairs happy. And I'm like, they're about to kill them. Like, but they've got to see the boob first.
Yeah, it's just all part of it, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
like, yeah,
Although
how it
that
goes.
fucking saw across her neck,
Oh, that
savage.
was a really savage death. I think that was one of the most intense ones of the film.
Yeah, I
Because I
think
think
so.
it was because it was a bit longer. It was like prolonged, so it was just like it went on. Whereas the other kills were fairly quick, whereas this one was like, Jesus.
I think as well it is a that violence towards women as well, and the fact that she is seen as just like, even though she's very nice, and
That's true.
it's yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. They want to really like go out with a bet, like, sorry, start the kills
Go
with a
in.
bang. Yeah, and like really kind of think like, okay, well, she's the whore, so let's
She
make it
has.
extra violent.
I think it's as well
God,
as
that's
the
horrible.
audience. Yeah. I think it's hard as the audience because, again, I mean, we all saw this 10 years ago, but it's the first time that we know for sure they're there to die. And that sounds stupid because they've obviously just released the monsters, but for all we know, it could be a Hunger Games situation where it's a test, it's a purge, they're gonna fight,
Yeah.
and that's it. And as soon as they kill her, you're like, oh no, they're lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah.
And again, it's that first switch of, oh, they're literally could they're orchestrating their death. They're puppets, puppet
And then that's
masters.
when you see the blood fill up in
But
wherever it
even
is.
that doesn't show us the whole thing straight away. So
No.
we see like the dish and everything, but you don't see the whole figure. So you're like, what are they filling? And it's such so cleverly done how it drip feeds you pieces. Mm. It's just so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, was anyone surprised that Marty survived? Because again, he was the only one when he died. We didn't see the blood because there obviously wasn't any.
You see blood come up. Yeah. You see blood come up from over the hill.
Sorry, I mean the ones that, like, when they, where they're donating it down below, like in the bowl, and it goes into the statues. We didn't see that for Marty because he obviously hadn't actually died. So they didn't show us that. And then it isn't until later it's revealed he's still alive. But on a rewatch, you're like, didn't see that.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, you see his death because you see it all shoot up. And obviously then we see it's a dismembered, he's like, thank you, zombie hand.
Way later. I mean, when it gets nicked out the window.
Yeah.
I love when they're like, we've got a plan. Oh, hold it. Daddy Buckner's here, or Larry Buckner, or whatever they call him.
I prefer Daddy Buckner.
Daddy energy. It's back.
I didn't know whether to expect it, because I guess it wasn't like the film wasn't over yet, like it was far from over, like, so I was like, something has got to happen here, like either one of them has survived or like Dana herself is just going to discover what's going on. But no, I don't think I necessarily thought Marty would be the one to survive, but I'm so glad he was, because he was one of the best characters, and also he got everything fucking right. Like he knew everything. He deserved to like see it through till the end.
It's the fact that he goes, am I on a reality TV show?
Oh my God.
But it's when he comes back to save Dana with the fucking bong. So again, more foreshadowing, like it comes back and it saves the fucking day. The drugs save the day. This film is just advocating for stoners. It's amazing.
I'm like, it's literally a stoner movie.
It's great.
Like, it's a perfect stoner horror.
Yeah,
it kind of it is. Yeah. But then, now we're underground. Now we're in the facility. Because that's it. They're in the lift and they're like, do we want to go down? I mean, for them, did it work out? Who fucking knows? But they didn't have another option. Like, where else were they going to go?
No.
I love it. I love when they're in the facility and all the monsters get released. But why, in a facility where you're holding those type of monsters, would you have an eject all button? Why would that ever fucking exist?
I don't know.
Just why? In what scenario would you ever need to hit that button?
In case you're in a
button?
Movie called A Cabin in the Woods and you need...
I was like, even if there was
and
a
it's
fire...
so close as well to the actual elevators.
Yeah, because like even if there was a fire, they're not going to go let all the monsters out to just free roam Earth. Like, why does that button exist? There is no good fucking reason for that button.
Maybe it winds them up so then they're ready. So if they get chosen, they're like ready to go. I don't know.
All of them at once. Go. Yeah. If they pick too many items, they're like, well, lucky draw.
Yeah.
It makes
no sense.
Also, why do the lifts ever open into the facility?
I love it.
Whoever designed
this. They put them in there somehow, don't they?
Yeah, but surely you'd have one entrance and the exits on the other side. What is happening in this facility? They're terrible monster keepers. They don't know how to look after their pets. It just, to me, I was like, that is the one plot hole where I'm like, why is that button there?
It was worth it to see all of the doors opening and all of them just going.
It's the blood though. That is what makes it so great, because it's carnage.
What I love is they looked at every monster as that monster. So it wasn't just like, oh, generically, they all have blood. So the Buckners, their blood was like a really dark black kind of blood. And then they were given examples of like when you see the zombies in the facility, they've got like a really red blood. They've obviously got the merman. I'll come back to him in a minute because he was amazing. But his blood was a different shade. And then they had like the green mutant blood. So they thought about it down to like when the monsters get injured, they all bleed slightly different, which was insane. Oh, just love it. Love the detail in this.
There was just so many. Like the clown, even when he was in it for like 2 seconds, he really freaked me out.
Yeah.
I never get freaked out by clowns, but I was like, oh, yeah, no, you know, fuck that.
Yeah.
He was not.
Even the snake, it was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah,
like,
fucking
Jesus.
Giant cobra. You got a scorpion with a fucking angle grinder on its fucking back.
Yeah.
giant bat.
Yeah, the bat.
A velociraptor's in there.
Velociraptor, fucking forgot about that.
There was a couple of goblins driving one of the go-karts.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go back through and watch that scene.
Yeah, I think I will too.
There's a wolf.
Yeah, werewolf.
Yeah, there's just so much.
Ballerina with fucking teeth for a face.
I don't know if it's like the demon or like a different type of ghost type creature, but it's like scattering across the roof and it comes right at one of the cameras. You have the ghost.
I like the ghost.
I like the ghost. You have a guy in like plastic wrap. I can't remember what he was called, but there was just so many.
Yeah, really cool.
So they were making the AFX studios were making the creatures, the monsters. Oh, I think they said in LA, I might be wrong, but it was in a state in America. And then once they were done, they had 6 to 8 weeks, because one person said six and they were like, they couldn't remember the dates. They're like, it was 6 to 8 weeks to make all of these monsters. So they had like a team of 60-ish people, like painters, illustrators, fabricators making these creatures. Once they were done, they were sticking them on a lorry and sending them up to Canada where it was being filmed. Can you imagine if that lorry broke down and somebody like came to help and you suddenly got an entire back full of
going through like the different states and then into Canada, like when you're at security.
Yeah, what's in the back? I'd have just had a guy dressed as a werewolf ready for it.
I'm just smuggling this werewolf into Canada.
Yeah, but they basically said like, oh, we need like 60 creatures or whatever. So they got them all like okayed, signed off. They started making them. Once they got to Canada, they realized how big that set was. And they were like, it's actually not big enough, but they'd already blown their budget, which is why they then started putting in like the giant snake and the ghost and stuff was like the CGI fillers, because they were like, we have so much space. And they were like, we have no more money to make any more creatures.
Thing is though, like the CGI ones, I like the fact that they're added in, because they are so like, it gives like another layer to like, obviously like prosthetics and the costumes are amazing, but like it's not like it's shit CGI either. Like it's fairly fucking decent, which surprised me.
I love that they did so much of it with practical effects, but I like something like that ghost that literally whispers at the camera, you could like, yeah, like CGI was just easier. It makes sense why they put those ones in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like some of it was slightly outdated, but still, like, I think it still works. Like, of course, it's going to be a bit outdated. It was from, you know, 2011, but like, I think it still works today. It doesn't really even matter that it's a bit outdated.
I think as well, though, because it was only a few and the majority was practical, it will last, it will age longer. Definitely. Because again, it wasn't like the Buckners were CGI, in which case it was shown. Their makeup took like, she said, Mummy Buckner was saying the first time it was done took 8 hours. And she was like, we've got it down to about 4 now. But that was just for makeup on her face and arms. By the time she was in costume and had her hair done, she was about 6 hours. And I was like, oh, God. Because again, there was just so much detail. And I was like, I love this.
Tell my famous question. Would you have wanted to work on this film?
Fuck yeah. Like, because as well, they had so many people. I feel like, all hands on deck.
Oh my God, you would have loved it.
I would have loved it.
You would have been in your element.
Yes. One, because my brain is like monster making, absolutely. I will make something terrifying. Two, I've been having nightmares since I was 3 years old. You want to fucking, let's talk about nightmares and what scares you. I've got fucking years worth of trauma and history of things waking me up in the middle of the night. It is dark shit up here. Oh, it's little. Well, don't worry. One day I'll make a horror film and this is going to come in handy. But it's a fucking dark place in there. Until then, I will just keep on screaming. No, it's fine.
Jesus.
There's some dark shit. I've had some really terrifying dreams. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I watched too many horror. No, that can't be it.
Surely not.
I have a lot of like shit about the SFX of essentially this scene on VFX. So I'm very sorry if I'm just going to keep talking at you, but I can also now tell you about the merman if you want to know.
We'd love to know.
I'm dying to know.
So I will try and get some photos of the merman as well, because he was like literally like a foam bodysuit and then they latex over it and it was awesome. So the poor actor that's in it was just like laying on the floor flopping. But they literally put like to get that. I fucking love the effect where the blood comes out of his blowhole. So my fucking favorite thing.
I find it so gross.
It's so gross, I love it so much. It's so good. But so they literally like showered action, and apparently he just started like gnawing down, and they went for like, I can't remember how long they said the shot was, but like 5 minutes or something, and just like liters of blood was coming out, but it comes out like a fountain. And they were like, how much? And there was like a puddle around his tail, and he's like flopping into it. And they were like, how much blood are they going to use? But then the shot they actually used where like spurts out was one of the last. And I think it was so well done, because like when it was coming out like a fountain, it was kind of comical. Whereas when it came out the other way, it was just really scary and good. So yeah, I love it. Nice. I love it. I'm just going to watch that scene over and over, because I just love all the different effects and detail on monsters.
it's so good.
Okay, I'm gonna shut up now.
So when by the time it got to the end and then we were introduced to Sigourney Weaver, mm-hmm. Did you kind of guess that was going to be the case? Like, I know obviously it gets explained much more, but like I think by that point we knew that there was kind of something going on, but we didn't know the proper ins and outs of it.
We haven't even talked about the fact that the Japanese 9-year-old schoolgirls managed to defeat the fucking demon.
Oh yeah. And he's like, fuck you.
How hard is it to kill 9-year-olds? And I was like, oh my God.
It was like zero fatalities. But then it was zero fatalities. Such a wholesome scene. All of the places.
Yeah. So it was seriously on America there to like save the world. Like, no pressure.
By dying.
Yeah. The people in the facility didn't have to die, except they were going to. But yeah, so I think it's really hard to remember if I knew by that point, because again, we had seen this before. But I just think that like when they explain it, it's like, oh, okay, cool. And again, I think it just plays really well in that twist on horror films. So I think it's really good.
Yeah. I really like the bit where like Dana rethinks and points the gun at Marty, because then you think, what's actually going to happen here? Like. Yeah.
Well, that brings us on to, what would you do? Like, would you survive?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, would you sacrifice? Mm. I bet Charlie fucking says yes, but...
Fuck him up.
So would you survive this?
Obviously.
Okay, that's and me. Explain why you think you would before I tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, fuck. Why am I surviving? Because I am me. And just can't fucking be defeated.
You're gonna need more. I think the question is, would you sacrifice the person?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going out as a fucking hero. Like, bang, bang.
Well, no, because I was going to say, because here's the problem. Well, Katie, would you survive / sacrifice?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Because
I think that, like...
You've got too much of a conscious girl.
Well, it's just, I feel like what Dana said at the end, it's time to give other people a chance. I feel like you shouldn't have to sacrifice 5 people every single year in order for the world to be saved. And I feel like it's too much. It's too stressful on the world. Let's just fucking start all over again.
It's also more than 5 people, because it's only 5 people in America.
That's true. So, I would totally just like, I wouldn't shoot my friends. I'd just sit with them, chill, and then die.
Watch a giant hand come out of the fucking core of the earth.
I wouldn't want to shoot my friends. Let's just, you know what? Like, let's just start again. Mm. What would you do, Tal?
Well, because again, in my head, I'm going, would you survive? And my point was, well, no, you can't survive this film.
No, you can't survive it.
What did they say? It's like, either you die, or you either die with them or die for them. So there's no fucking survival in this. It's just whether you're the one to pull the trigger or not.
Stop
stalling, woman.
Stop stalling. No, because I don't know. And it gets very dark, because I think because of the time limit where they're like, you have to make a decision now. I think, and it sounds really dark, I think I'd pull the trigger and then kill myself.
Oh,
because I couldn't live with the story that my murder suicide is too dull for you. But like, I wouldn't want to shoot my friend, but I also wouldn't want to live with the fact that I shot my friend. So I think under pressure, I just murder suicide my way out of it.
You know what? You may as well put your heads next to each other and be like, look, let's just do it in one.
Oh, you're right. It's the end of the world. It's my end of the world, but I'll save a bullet for them. Like, it's, Yeah, I think that's the problem, is like you're trying to comprehend all this stuff after just having been through trauma. It's not okay. It's not good. Like, I don't see it ending well.
That is the line of the episode. I'm sorry, my murder
My
suicide is too
suicide.
dark. Oh dear,
Oh,
that was
fuck's
funny.
sake. Well, I am a god. I am surviving. I'm coming out
But
the
you're
core of the
not,
earth.
because you either
You're
die
not
for them.
gods. That is ridiculous.
You're not. You either die for them or you die with them. So
You
you're
haven't
just
got one
gonna
of
die.
those. Yeah, I've got a giant fucking hand. There we
So
go.
you're just gonna die 5 minutes later. Like,
Oh
so
dear.
Charlie's gonna die by default because the entire world
Yeah.
explodes.
I'm gonna just
I
like
am the
have our
world.
world.
Kate's going
So
out stoned.
I'm gonna do what they did in the film. That's what I'm doing.
You can
Yeah.
smoke this, smoking the spliff, sitting
Yeah.
on the seat ledge,
Yeah.
and I'm taking
hoping no
myself
monsters come
out.
down behind you.
I'm taking myself out and anyone around me. So
Lovely.
no, I like
Cool.
how we've got different.
Got different takes on this.
I know. All right then. So, what is everyone's spook? And how many spooks are we given Cabin in the Woods? Charlie, I'll go with you first.
I am going to give it. I'm going to give it a four spooks. A scary, funny. Fuck it, actually, I'm going to give it 4.5 spooks. Yeah, scary, funny, original, but not original, obviously, because it's a piss take. I think it's great. I'm glad that I finally sat through the rest of it and watched it, somewhat all of it.
Nice.
Don't really know what to add to that.
That's right.
And my favorite spook.
More than enough.
I'm not sure whether it could be like the bear trap in the bear trap in the back and like through the floorboards, or that elevator scene where they're obviously hiding, but they all just come out and there's blood everywhere. It's fucking great. Gnarly.
Nice.
How about you, Till?
I am going to give it five spooks because it is just one of my favorites. And I have not stopped talking about the
Nice.
monsters because, again, just love the detail. And speaking of the detail, I think I'm going to give it the Merman because I love bringing it back to that. I love that it was, set up earlier. And I just love the fucking disgustingness. I love that he references as well the cleanup after them. And then you see it and it's gross. I love it. Katie, what about you?
I'm going to give it 4.5 spooks. And my spook, oh God, there's so many.
I know.
I would actually say Jules's death because I think that was like one of the scariest bits and it was like one of the goriest bits and it really kind of like set you up. And I mean, it was about 45 minutes into the film that was the first death, but I just still thought that was really cool. And it just kind of started all the sort of graphic and the violence of it. And I just thought it was really good. So, yes, that would be mine.
That was our Cabin in the Woods episode. We hope you enjoyed it and all its disgusting facts. And sorry I talked so much. Join us again in next week for another episode. Follow us on all the socials to see what we're up to and what film it's going to be so you can listen along. And until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't die.
Or a merman will get you, bitches.
Bitches, the cunts are back.